You're listening to the Script Lab Podcast. I'm Shani Edwards. On today's episode, I speak with actress Geraldine Viswanathan and writer-director Minhal Baig about their new film, Hala. It's about a Muslim teenage girl coping with the unraveling of her family as she manages to navigate her sexuality while attempting to fit into two diverse cultures. Executive produced by Jada Pinkett Smith, this coming-of-age film is at times charming and playful, and other times emotional and heartbreaking. Geraldine Viswanathan gives a powerful performance as the lead character, Hala. Here's what they had to say about starting with a short film that was rejected by Sundance, to finishing the feature film that premiered at Sundance earlier this year and was nominated for the Grand Jury Prize. Take a listen. So hi, Minhal and Geraldine.
Hi.
We're here to talk about your new film, Hala. It's such a beautiful film. It's powerful. And Geraldine, your performance is just spectacular. I mean, I've seen you in a few things, like Blockers, which I actually loved. That was like one of my favorite movies of 2018.
That's awesome.
It didn't get a lot of attention, but it was really funny.
Oh, thank you.
You were great.
Thanks.
Let's see. There's so much I want to talk to you about. Minhal, this started as a short film, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And tell me what happened with the short film and where it went from there.
So I had actually written the feature script first.
Oh.
And I knew that I wanted to make the feature version. And the short film was a proof of concept for the feature. It was going to be a small part, small segment of the feature that would help people understand why this story needed to be told. And how I would tell it. And so I wrote the feature first, then wrote the short script, and we filmed the short film in 2015, and it came out in 2016. And the short was just this exercise of sort of finding my way around the story visually, understanding this character better, but the greatest lesson I learned from it was just that the parents, which are in the background of the short, became so much more of the focus in the feature. It was more about Hala and her relationship with her family in the long, you know, the longer version of the story. And then once we had the short and the feature script together, we were able to get financing for the feature. And that it took some time to get the right partners on board. And Jada had watched the short film and fallen in love with it.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah, she wanted to support the movie, and she really felt like this was a, you know, she really resonated with it, even though it's not her specific lived experience. She came on board, we found the money, we shot the film in 2017, and then I was in editing for a while. But it was a long process from the short to the feature, but I think all that time in between was very valuable because I was learning much more about the focus of the story and like complicating the characters and rewriting the script. So at the time I was extremely impatient, but I feel like in retrospect, had I shot it in any earlier, I probably wouldn't have been ready. Like I think that all that time that took place between the short and the feature was really useful time. It wasn't wasted at all. You know, I rewrote the script countless, you know, there's countless drafts.
We can all relate to that.
Yeah. And I think it was all great time. I think most filmmakers, like, after the fact, really appreciate that you can grow up with the movie a little bit, and like the movie changes as you change as an artist.
Sure. So you did get financing, and Jada helped you with that. Is that what happened?
Yeah, okay. Jada came on board as an executive producer in what I believe is in 2016. It still took us some time to find a financier. And in that time, the script landed on the blacklist, and we did get wider attention because of that, because most people are looking at the blacklist to see the unproduced screenplays that executives have liked. And many of the screenplays on there were based on like true historical figures or like real life events, but this was one of the rare scripts that was just an original story and it was in the top 10 script. So I think that that really made it appealing. And people who hadn't previously heard of the script before were finally, like, it was finally reaching them.
Well, that's great. And then did the short, I think the feature went to Sundance. Did the short go to Sundance as well?
No, we got rejected from Sundance for the short. We submitted to a couple festivals. But I also just felt like I wanted to share the movie no matter what, share the short film. So we put it online, but we had like a really great staggered release, and we shared it with like Short of the Week and Nylon and Nowness. And each time the story, the short got more and more attention, and it really helped with making the feature. Because if I feel like if I hadn't made the short first, I wouldn't have found the financing I did, but I also wouldn't have learned the things I learned making it.
Well, that's a great piece of information. So how did we find Geraldine?
Geraldine and I had met in person before she submitted her tape, and we were casting and looking for someone for this role. We happened to be meeting, but right before we started casting, and looking for an actress to portray this role, which is highly internal, and you know, a character for whom so much is going on underneath the surface. We needed somebody who could project all that emotional depth. And Geraldine's tape came in, and we were all really excited about her embodying this character. I was actually not familiar with her previous work because Blockers was still in post-production, so I hadn't even seen the movie. I didn't know what she had done on that film. So I was coming in with like fresher eyes to who you are as an artist. I saw you on a short film.
Yeah, that's right.
There was a short film you shot, I believe it was in Australia.
Yeah.
Getting the name of it.
Big Bad World.
Yeah, Big Bad. She shot the short film Big Bad World, and I thought it was amazing. And that was like literally the only thing I had seen.
That's
before.
So crazy that you'd seen that.
Yeah, I loved it.
That's awesome.
You and the other actress are really amazing together.
Yeah.
And so that was my, that was my introduction to your work.
Mm.
I didn't see you as necessarily like comedic actress who had done so much comedy before. Now it's like, since a couple of those films have come out, since we've worked on Hala, I think people see it as like, oh, this was like a deliberate thing that you were doing to do something that was so different than what you had done previously. But I think it just came to you at a time where you had done two comedy projects.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much of a calculated move. It wasn't like that. I think you were drawn to that challenge because it was different, but it wasn't like you had this established career in comedy and you're like, I'm going dramatic.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even see you as somebody who was either or. It was just you're looking for interesting roles.
Yeah, exactly.
But her tape came in and it was amazing. We really felt like she embodied this character and also had this levity and charisma and buoyancy, which I think when I was writing the script, I was just so self-serious about it because I was also very self-serious. But I needed for someone to bring a dimension that I wasn't expecting for Hala to become a full character. Because if she is literally everything I expect, then it's not interesting. Like, I think that with every character, I was hoping that the actors bring something that is their interpretation of the character and the script and the text of what they're saying and what's not said. And hopefully, you know, this character becomes a lot and becomes different.
Mm. So, Geraldine, how did you approach this character? Because you're an actress, seem to be a big star, and which is very different from Hala's life.
Mm.
So how did you approach her?
Well, I mean, I will say that this was the third movie that I had done, and I still very much related to that period in time, the transition between high school and college. I don't know, I perpetually feel like I'm in that same age, but it just was a really pivotal time for me. So I really related to the period of life that we were visiting Hala. And I mean, I approached it with, I guess, maybe extra care than I have, you know, because it was just a whole new deal for me. This was kind of my first drama that I had filmed, and I also knew how important it was to Minhal and to, I think, many people. And so I did feel this real sense of responsibility to, you know, do justice to this character who I thought was really special and rare. So we really, I mean, we didn't necessarily have the luxury of time.
No, it was because part of it was that we had a very shortened rehearsal period before we started filming. And also because almost all the actors were coming in like right before we started. So, I mean, even Purby was cast after you.
Right.
And so everyone was staggered and we had very limited time with everybody. But what we did do is we had one-on-one rehearsals and then we had group rehearsals, which I found very useful and kind of helpful because we had a shorthand and a language that we had in the rehearsals, which was useful because on set, like at least I think sometimes even more so for Azad, who had never acted before, and you know, having had gone through some of that in rehearsal was helpful for him on the day. And I think that like it was important to establish the bond of a family before you get on set, because some of it can be just fabricated and materialized, but then other parts of it are just like the lived in of like, you know, somebody.
Yes.
And just you even knowing another actor can visually translates to like father, daughter.
Yeah,
in
you
a way.
Feel comfortable with them.
Yeah.
The same comfort that you would have with a family member who's known you your entire life.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we tried to build that within a week. And
yeah, we talked about emotional arcs. I didn't do so much of like running through entire scenes. I feel like we talked more about it. Because I don't want to lose like some of that spontaneity and the energy that you just find on set. For with Purby and Azad, they wanted to go through some of the scenes because they really felt like, especially because they were speaking another language, they needed to get that down. But it wasn't like blocking or anything. It was just like talking through, doing their lines.
That's great. It was very successful, the relationships, and I want to talk specifically about your character's mom. You just mentioned arcs. I mean, she does a 180 pretty much, because at first it's almost like she's jealous of you and your potential and the freedom of America. But then at the end, she really changes and is there for you. And it's rare. I can't believe I'm saying this, but it is rare to see such a big arc in a secondary character. So maybe you can talk a little bit about what that was like for you and for you.
Well, to me, that actually rang really true. I think mothers, when their children are leaving high school and kind of going off into the world and leaving their care, I feel like mothers go through their own coming of age, where their identity shifts from being, I mean, they're still a mother, of course, but they have more freedom to do what they want to do too. I very much experienced that with my mom. And so I think that was, I mean, yeah, maybe it feels like a 180, but it, to me, resonated totally. And I think Purby talks about, like, she knows women who've had this kind of similar arc of going through the coming of age adjacently with their child.
And I also think that it's something which my mom had to deal with when I was going away to college, is that she found real purpose and love taking care of us. That's not something that she felt was a burden or obligation. She enjoyed doing these things for us because it was her way of showing love, was like paying attention and be, you know, knowing and noticing. And then when I was leaving, I think part of her just felt like she has to redefine who she is now, because her identity, it doesn't solely revolve around like making sure we're okay. Like,
redirect the attention.
Yeah, she has to find another or additional purpose that's outside of just the identity of being a mother. That's definitely, she's still a mother. And I think even at the end of this movie, you know, Aram is still a mother to Hala. She's never not going to stop being that, but she's starting to strike out on her own and figure out what she wants out of life outside of the roles that have been sort of expected from her.
I want to ask you both about the duality of Hala. I read that you snuck out of your house to go to your prom.
Yeah. I remember how it happened too, because I had said my friend Jessica was taking us to a graduation dinner. And so she, you know, I had an outfit that they were okay with, but they assumed that we were just going to a dinner and coming back. And they had imposed a midnight curfew. So I literally went to my prom for like the shortest time and had to like run, go back home super late, and of course be dropped off like a block away and do the whole like walk back to your house but without being noticed thing. I always did that. I always tell like all my friends like, don't come to my house. Always come like a block away, two blocks away, like I will walk there. And they were like, you need to deal with this in your life. Like, what are you doing? I still do that sometimes where my friend will be driving up to my house and I was like, no, you can just drop me off here. I'll walk the rest of the
way. Oh my God.
Yeah, because then my parents or my mom would engage with me. I'm like, who was that?
Right.
Who's, like, what's their story? Like, what's their profession? How much money do they make? Like, all this detail that is like entirely unnecessary. But yeah, I did sneak out to prom and it was pretty great. It was a very like tame prom. Like I went to a really nice high school. You saw it because we've shot there. It was a very like nice, friendly high school. Like there weren't like a lot of wild children. It was
like just you.
Pretty academic.
We had a prom in the Harold Washington Library in the like the botanical garden at the top floor. Like it wasn't
beautiful.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Well, what struck me about reading that about you and then about watching the film is that she's so divided. And even the back and forth between the two different languages, it's like they're pulling her. And she wants to be so true to herself and explore her sexuality, but everything is telling her not to. And then she discovers some things about her dad. Maybe you can talk about what it's like to have those opposing forces just like pulling you. Mm.
Man, that comes from a real place. She's really struggling with these, not just a set of values, because I do think part of it is culture and part of it is faith, but also it's just the universal coming of age. Every person is coming into their own and striking out on their own, forming an identity that's separate and wholly new from their family, maybe from their community. Everyone is negotiating that, whether their identities have to do with being Muslim or Pakistani American. That was very much drawn from real life. And as for the languages, that was really reflected what was going on in my own home, because my parents really wanted us to speak English. My dad specifically wanted us to speak English with him because he didn't want us to stand out. He wanted us to assimilate. And then we got older and then he chastised us for being too American. And I think there was just a feeling that in the effort to fit in, we were potentially losing parts of our culture that should be passed down. And I do think that Hala is not abandoning everything that she's ever known. I think she's coming to it on her own terms. Mm-hmm. And she has to figure out what that is, separate from her family. She's definitely influenced by her family and how she was raised. That's inevitable, a part of everyone's journey. But I do feel like once she goes away to college and she's away from home for the first time, she has to make some decisions about how she wants to lead her life and what is her relationship to Salat, you know, prayer. It has to be an active choice because you've left the nest and now you, in some ways, it's a more meaningful relationship that I found with my faith because I've had to form it outside. It was not expected of me once I moved away and was in college and then started working. It made it feel more deliberate.
It's interesting to me about your father. You said he wanted you to assimilate, but then you did. And I wonder if he had this unrealistic fantasy of what that would mean for you.
He was, you know, someone who had really high expectations for us. overall, like, he wanted us to succeed and felt that standing out might stand in the way of that. But I think now we've kind of come to understand that our culture and our faith are not things to be discarded for some kind of success. Like, those are things that can be embraced and a very welcome part of our identity instead of something that's suppressed. And I think that it was very different for him because he was an immigrant.
Mm.
And so it was not his home country. Whereas for me, I was born here. And so I have a different relationship to it. He didn't quite ever feel like America was home because he had a whole life before he came here. He got used to it. I think he really liked, Chicago and, our raising a family there. But I think about that now, like, how difficult it would be for me to, like, just leave everything at my age now and set up somewhere else and, like, learn an entirely new language, start a job, have a family. That would be really hard. And it would be easier to just assimilate and make it a little easier to get around.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, like, the story of immigrants is it's a different set of challenges than it is for first generation, where you're born here and there's not as much of a question of whether you belong. The belongingness is there. It's, you have more of a sense of belongingness and it's not as questioned as much.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, like, sometimes come into conflict with those two things because I feel like my dad's experiences are valid and important. And then also my experiences are also valid, but we went through different things. And I really understand the perspective of parents having to raise their kids in a different homeland than the one they grew up in. They have to feel like they're really protecting their kids from losing these parts of themselves that are important.
One of my favorite films is Splendor in the Grass. Yeah, and I...
I haven't seen this film, but it's been on a list for a long time.
You haven't seen it?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I wrote a thesis on it in school, so I studied it. There are camera shots that you have that are straight out of Splendor in the Grass. I'm actually not surprised that you haven't seen it, and I'm not surprised that the shots and the subject matter are similar because it's a very authentic coming of age. I mean, this was in 1961, and it's not... very different than your film, but it's also very similar. Have you seen it?
I haven't.
Oh, gosh.
Now I really want to watch it.
Natalie Wood, Warren Beatty.
Oh.
Once I saw those camera, the way that the camera was framed, and your film became so much more emotional to me because I was like, great, this is universal. It doesn't matter if you're Pakistani. It's being a young woman and trying to navigate your hormones, your body, your desires with expectations. And I mean, this is just a really, really beautiful film.
Thank you.
Sure. So I'm equating you with Elia Kazan.
Wow. Actually, it's really funny you say that because I've read Elia Kazan's book.
Uh-huh.
I believe he wrote, there's a specific book he wrote about his experiences directing that I read before I shot Hala. I read so many, I read books by Sidney Lumet and and I remember Elia's, his story of having to put all of your life and your energy into these movies and each time you're so vulnerable and every time you do it, you pull yourself apart. I remember reading that and feeling like, oh, this is just a thing that we do. That's part of the nature of our work. I didn't really understand until then when I was making this film that it was so personal. Mm. Like, it could be so personal, like,
right,
deeply and not on a superficial level where you're, like, trying to find something that, like, kind of fits.
Yeah.
But it is, actually. Now I need to see that movie.
Geraldine, can you tell me, were there any funny moments on set or something that surprised you or something that went wrong?
We were depressed all night. No, I'm just kidding. it's a serious movie, though, so we did have to, like, have some, like, levity in between moments. So you have to. I remember there was one moment that was really funny to me. It was when I was fighting about, this is so inside baseball, but you know the scene where you're on the airplane?
Yeah.
That set, Marsha was trying to talk me out of for like the longest time. She's like, we're not doing that shot, we're not doing that. It's too expensive. And then I said, eventually I said, like, well, how are we going to show that you went away to school? And she's like, I don't know, like, can't you just see how we're getting into a car? I'm like, it's not the same. Or just show her in a different place. I was like, no, you're not going to know until you see her on the plane. And then eventually I didn't do this very often in the movie. I think I did it maybe once or twice, which was just like, okay, I'll pay for it. Because I read all these books where directors would say, like, I'll pay for the shot. And then and then they actually did have to pay for the shot. And they were like, why did I do this to myself?
Oh, my God.
And then I did that. And everyone was like, no, you can't pay for the shot. I'm like, well, I guess we have to. Otherwise, we're not going to have her on a plane going away to school. And then eventually when I explained it the next day, they were like, so we figured it out on the budget. We'll be able to provide an airplane. And I was like, yeah, I thought so.
That's a great story. How did you get along with your counterpart, Jack, Jesse Ross?
Love Jack. He's the coolest cat. He's so great. I would say probably the moments of... the joyous moments were probably doing scenes with him. I mean, oh, I know, the playground.
That was one of my favorite
scenes. Like, they just, we were just being followed around this playground on Steadicam while we were just messing around. And that got really silly and fun. Maybe too silly, where it was like, this isn't Al anymore.
Also, there were times where you were like getting whirled around on the merry-go-round, and I was like... Okay, like you might
truly,
get too dizzy.
I truly felt unwell.
and he was like really pushing you on there too. That was a fun scene because it was like looser and it felt like less like, okay, like we can play a little bit more and like have more improvisation, which the rest of the film was like much more like on the script and like it had to be a certain way because certain things need to happen. But I felt like I always wrote that scene, the scene in the playground, to be a little bit more...
Yeah, it's like
sort of loose.
The only time you see Hollow in like that state of play.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it emphasizes that she's not an adult yet.
Yes.
Yeah, she thinks of herself as to be very serious and an old soul and like very romantic, but there is a part of her that's still a young person.
Mm. And doesn't know what to do. I mean, she goes to her teacher's house and then
it's just confused.
She's so confused.
Yeah.
And we can all relate to those feelings. Like, what do I do?
Yeah. Just reaching out.
Also, when you don't have, you can't easily articulate your emotions because you don't think they're going to be received. Like, I think about, I was projecting that onto my mom a lot. Like, I feel like she wouldn't understand, but that was just in my head. I was just assuming she wasn't going to understand. Maybe if I tried to do that more and I just... exposure therapy to her into accepting my feelings, because I do have friends who were just knew that their parents were uncomfortable with it, but they would just keep doing it, and eventually it did create a culture of like being able to at least be honest. And I think that like that's the thing that she's working toward in the movie, is being able to do that with at least her mother.
Mm-hmm. So going through this process and rewriting the script a million times, what advice do you have for someone who is writing a coming of age story?
I just helped my friend who's shooting a coming-of-age film in Australia, by the way.
Mm.
Tyson is shooting a movie.
Oh.
Yeah. He had a lot of questions. He had me read the script. He asked me questions about whether the women were fully realized.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, is this my role in your life now, to read your scripts to make sure that the women are realized? No, it was a beautiful script. I really recommend that people watch movies in this genre and like really try to immerse yourself, and not just American movies. I watched a lot of films of Carolina, the cinematographer on the film, that were just internet foreign films that explore this. Like one of my favorites is Girlhood by Celine Sciamma. And that was a big influence for me on this film. It's a very different culture that she's depicting, and it's like a group of girls, but it was really refreshing to see that in all in all cultures, there's like this very universal story, you know, and it was like Fish Tank, Andrea Arnold's Fish Tank, which like wrecked me. And I watched on 35mm.
Wow.
And Andrea was in town.
Wow.
I caught it. Yeah. It was amazing. It was at the, it was at Cine Family. Mm-hmm. And then I also think about Xavier Dolan's movie, Mommy, which was like a punch to my gut. It was so raw and like heartfelt. And it just was so much his experience, you couldn't tear yourself away. And it was like such a visual feast. Like all of these movies were such visual experiences, and I was trying really hard to like find a way to like do that in the way that made sense for this character.
Last question. What's next for you two?
You talk. You say
first. What's next? I was in a movie about education that should be coming out soon on HBO. And I just finished filming season 2 of Miracle Workers, the TV show that I'm on.
And you shot a movie.
And I shot a movie over the summer, a romantic comedy called Broken Hearts Gallery, written and directed by Natalie Krinsky, which I'm really excited about.
Who was there at the screening, by the way?
Yeah.
And she loved the movie.
Yeah, she loved it.
That's so sweet.
She's the best. So yeah, but Minhal here is working on 5 million things.
I'm working on a show in 2 weeks. It's very different from anything I've done before in TV. Because I finished working on BoJack Horseman earlier this year, and this is an hour-long show. It's a big world. So that's the new job. And then I have this movie that I've been working on that has been sort of a side project while I was in post-production on Hala, but was, you know, always what I imagined would be the thing that I would work on next. And that I've been taking trips back to Chicago to do research. And hopefully that's the next thing I shoot. But there's also like 3 other ideas for movies, and I just can't, like, I just need to sit down and like lock myself in a room and just write them, because it takes so long to gestate each project. And when I'm in a project, I can't think about other things.
Yeah.
Like when I'm writing the next film, I can't think about the project after that. It's just, it has to be this world, and I have to live inside of it completely.
Yeah.
And it's all consuming. Like, Hala was very all consuming, and it was consuming even when I was working in TV, because I was just like thinking about, how is this movie going to come out? And how will it be received? And will we get into festivals? Will it be bought? Will it be distributed? And then doing the festival circuit while I was working a day job was also hard.
Oh my gosh. Because
it was like having to like juggle writing for a show and also like promoting the movie. And then there will come a time where I have to leave a show to like shoot a movie potentially next year, which will be really like great. And it's also just like good problems to have, but I'm excited that I get to still do my personal passion projects alongside the things that in television, which I also love, but are also like not my ideas, and they're not like my, like, I'm not the showrunner or creator, but it is nice to be able to do both, because I'm learning a lot from working in TV that I'm applying to my own writing, and it's making me a better writer and filmmaker.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with Hala.
Thank you.
And I hope everybody sees it. And will it be in the theaters?
So Hala has a limited theatrical release.
Great.
On November 22nd.
Wonderful.
It will be on streaming on December 6th on Apple TV+.
Wonderful. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you
so
much.
This is great.